I really just want to dive right in. And what we're going to do this morning is I just want to kind of go off what we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks. That's really where I want to start and kind of do like a tag team deal here where Pastor Brad has walked us through 5 weeks in the book of Haggai. So if you've been here any time over the last 5 weeks, whether it's here in the building or online, we have been asking this question week by week. Does anybody remember what the question was? What are you building, right? What are we building? What are you? What am I? What are we building, right? And so what we've been talking about is this reality that in the book of Haggai is they were concentrated on building their own thing, right? They were concentrated on building their own homes. And Haggai comes in and says, hey, it's time to rebuild the temple. It's time. And so we translated that to mean this: hey, it's time to build God's kingdom. We need to lay aside our own agenda, and we need to build the kingdom of God, not our own kingdoms, but God's kingdom. Amen? So we've talked about this for 5 weeks, and I just want to kind of make this really practical, really personal, and again, remind us that now we're not building a physical temple. Amen? It says clearly in the scripture in a lot of different places, but we'll put just a few on the screen, that we are a temple. You and I are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It says it in 1 Corinthians in a couple different places, in chapter 3 and in chapter 6. It says it in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. It says it in Ephesians 2. It says it in 1 Peter 2. And these are just a few references. This is just some of the New Testament, and a lot of these are actually quoting Old Testament references to the fact that God is going to do something new and that we would become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So where does this temple exist? Where does this temple exist for you and I? Again, it's not these four walls. It's not even your home. Where really is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's right here. It's our heart. It's our inner man. Our inner being, right? And so it becomes really kind of practical as we say, okay, what are we building? Well, okay, we're building the temple of the Holy Spirit, but that means my responsibility is right here, right? My responsibility is here first, amen? I can't really be an active member of the body of Christ building and advancing his kingdom until I have this right. Until I have built it up and I established the kingdom of God here in my heart. Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is here. Well, where is it? Because of Jesus, it's now right here. And so I want to talk about one verse specifically. And it's a verse that we've probably all know and we've read many, many times. It's out of the book of Proverbs. And it's Proverbs 4, verse 23. We're going to first read it in the NIV, the New International Version. I love the way that they phrase it out. It says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Pretty to the point, right? What is that talking about? Guarding the kingdom of God in your heart. Guarding the kingdom of God in your heart. And I will just kind of say this. If you go in your app right now, there are some resources that go along with this message. And this message was in some ways stirred up through a podcast that our staff listened to, and we really dwelt on it, and we all talked about it and meditated on it. And it's from John and Stacy Eldridge. And so there's a link to that podcast right there in your app. It's called The Kingdom of Your Heart. And they actually have a little mini-series where they go through and they talk a lot about the kingdom of your heart. And so I would encourage you, this is going to be a little bit different than what you're hearing today as far as exactly what they're saying. They're taking a little bit different spin, but it's all still the truth of God, and it's all very, very good. They're sweet pastors, right? And so if you want to be just loved on and just feel really good when you're listening to something, listen to that podcast, because I guarantee you're going to feel better after you've listened to it. And I hope that this message will do the same, but I have more of a prophetic teaching type gift, and sometimes it might step on your toes a little bit. So there's some balance there if you go listen with that podcast. There's also a link to this book. There's a ton of principles in this book. It's called Moving Your Invisible Boundaries. It's by Dr. Jim Richards, and he has dedicated over 40 years of his life to studying the matters of the heart. And so I would encourage you, it's a very thick book. It might take you a while to get through it. It's taken me a while to get through it several times, but it's very good. And I encourage you, if you want to learn more about matters of the heart, get that book. There's a link to it in the app. But that's what I want to talk to you about today. What does it mean to guard our heart? What does it mean to guard our heart? Because in that context, in that verse, there's really three things that I see that become very paramount for us to know. Let's just break it down real quick. Above all else, number one, above all else. What does that imply? This is a very high priority. Above everything else that you do in your life, do this. It's the most important thing that I can do on a day-to-day basis. Above all else, what? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. We're going to talk about that specifically, but what it implies is that this is your responsibility. No one else can do this for you. It says guard your heart. I can't guard your heart, and you can't guard my heart. Now, I will say this. Parents of young children, I include this for me too. I have an almost two-year-old. You have a responsibility to guard their hearts. Until they get to a point to where they can really consciously make decisions on their own, you are the ones, you are the guardians of their heart. So everything that we're talking about today, it applies to you. But if you're a parent of a young child, this is huge for us because we have an incredible responsibility as parents to guard the hearts of our children who are vulnerable to everything in the world right now. Everything that they're seeing, everything that's coming into their lives is affecting their hearts. And so it's our responsibility until they get to be able to do this themselves, several years down the road, you have a responsibility to do this for them as well. So I would say, learn this for yourself and then do this for your children as well until you can teach them to do it on their own. Right? It's kind of like when you're in an airplane, you never hope that you get into that situation and they say, what do they say? First, put the mask on yourself, right? And then help the people next to you. So this is a first me thing. And I'm not trying to say we need to be selfish or anything like that, but we have to learn how to do this for ourselves. That's what it means. Guard your heart. And then the last part, everything you do flows from where? Your heart. Everything you do flows from your heart. That's pretty self-explanatory. If it's in your heart, it's coming out. At some point, it's coming out. The condition of your heart determines the condition of your life. I'll say that again. The condition of my heart or of your heart determines the condition of your life. It's true. It's elsewhere in Proverbs. I'm not going to get into that because I'll get off track. I want to read this same verse in another translation in the New American Standard. It says this way. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, I like this because the first one, guard your heart, right? That's a very defensive posture, right? Guard. If I'm in basketball and I'm guarding someone, I'm on defense, right? I'm just doing everything I can to stop anything from coming past me, right? But this kind of flips it a little bit, and he puts me on the offense. It puts me in a very active role with all diligence. I'm supposed to watch over my heart. So guarding your heart is not as much about building a wall around your heart or a fortress around your heart as much as it is about governing your heart and saying what comes in to my heart And that is the offense. That's the watching over. I'm constantly watching over what is coming in to my eyes, to my ears, right? To my senses. I'm constantly watching over and I'm saying, should that come in or not? Should that come into my heart or not? So it's about governing your heart. Now, governing, that's a very interesting word, and they talk about this in that podcast with John and Stacey Eldridge. They do a great job. Again, go listen to it. But it's in the context of ruling and reigning in life. You have to understand that that was the plan for us from the beginning. From the beginning, man, Adam and Eve, were given a commission. They were given a mandate to take dominion, to govern, to rule the earth, right? Now, they lost a lot of that authority because of the fall of man and sin, but what happened is Jesus came and he restored the authority of the believer. And so we are called to rule and reign in life. Now, we've talked a lot about that through the last several months, and we'll continue to talk about it. But we have to understand at the very basic level that you have a responsibility to take dominion and to rule and to reign in this life. Govern this life. What does that mean? Well, where in your life does what you say happen? Like, when you say it, it happens, right? That's an area of influence that you would say that I govern, right? You may not have a title of governor or governess, but when you say this and it happens, you're governing there. Now, I want you to understand that if you don't think you have any place where you're doing that, you do it every day right here. And the first and primary place that we govern or that we have a place of dominion is right here in our hearts. This place right here. What I say goes right here. What I allow in comes in. What I say don't come in doesn't come in. That's governing. That is a place of authority where you can say yes or no to anything that's coming in. But it's your responsibility. We first have to realize, though, that that is our responsibility, and that is what's happening on a day-to-day basis. Your primary domain to rule and reign in this life, first one, is right here. And if you get this right, he'll give you more to rule and reign over. But it starts here. Now, I want to look at this word in the Hebrew, this word heart, because heart has become very confusing in the Christian world. If you've been in church a long time, you may have heard 100 messages preached on the heart and the mind and the difference and all this stuff and breaking all this out. Well, I looked up the word heart, where it says guard your heart or watch over your heart. I looked up in the Hebrew, and it's the word, it's L-E-B, but it's actually pronounced with a V, like lev, and the root word is levav. Now, I want to take a look at this word in the context of just overall, what does this mean? So this word heart is a word for the inner man or the mind, the heart, the soul, understanding, right? It's the mind, it's knowledge, it's thinking, it's memory, it's inclination or the resolution or the determination of my will. It's my conscience. It's the seat of my appetites or my emotions, my passions, my courage. So it's a very all-encompassing word. And I want you to see that in this context, in this definition, it actually has the word soul up there, right? So we've talked about through, you know, the years that we are three parts, kind of like God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, as people, we are what? Spirit, soul, and body, right? And so this word for heart is very, very, very close to what we would say is soul. So I want to simplify it for us and say, I don't know if we can say that it is exactly the same because there's, I don't know if I can make that definitive of a remark because I think there's some differences, but soul is very, very equivalent to heart. So let's put that up on the screen. Heart is approximately soul. Did you remember your math thing, right? My mom was a math teacher, and she said, good job, right? So again, I don't know if I can say exactly, because see, all of this is very complex, right? Just like you have organ systems that work together in your body, all of these things work together. So let's just look at the soul, because we talk about that a lot. Soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. And so today I have an illustration that I hope will help us see this a little bit more clearly. Josh is going to come out and he's going to bring this out to me. So now, again, this is a complex subject. And this illustration is a very simplified version, right? I'm not trying to tell you that I know every in and out and all the complexities of what this means. And it's going to separate out spirit, soul, and body into three compartments. But at the end of the day, there really is not a lot of separation between these three things. Okay, you have to understand that I and you, we are spirit, soul, and body. Just like God is three in one, and there's certain things that you could look at with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, that there's certain maybe characteristics that you could look at and say, well, that's the Holy Spirit and that's the Father. But at the same time, it's all the same thing, right? Because Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father, and I'm going to send you my Spirit, right? It's three in one. So very similarly, we are spirit, soul, and body. And so if we can get maybe a tight shot in on that, yeah. So you can see spirit, soul, and body. So for today, we're going to simplify it and say soul and heart are right here, okay? Now, we talked about the inner man. So what I want you to see is that we and our battle are here. So, you can choose what you want your inner man to look like. When I think of my inner man, I think of someone more like Captain America. I know I don't look like that, but that's what I'm going to say for today. You can choose your own character there. But this right here, this is our battle. Now, I want you to understand that between the spirit, the soul, and the body, there are gates, okay, or like doors. So you can see that I have these little pieces of paper here that are like doorways, right? Can you see that? Gateways or doorways. That's why this message is called Gatekeeper of Our Heart. So as a person, we're talking about governing our heart. One of the things that looks like in the governing aspect is I get to choose what I open the door to in my life. Am I opening the gate to this side? Now, this is the body, which would represent what? The natural realm, right? The natural realm, the things that we see with our physical eyes and all the things that we experience in the natural realm. We even have natural senses, right? So everything I see or hear or taste or touch or feel gets translated through the body, right? Through my physical body in the natural realm, and I get to choose whether or not I open that up to let it in to my soul or my heart. Conversely, there is a supernatural realm that we don't see over here. It's spiritual. It's on this side of things. And I get to choose on a daily basis with similar senses, right? You can see things spiritually, hear things. We all felt the presence of God this morning, I hope. I did. It was powerful. There's scriptures like taste and see that the Lord is good, right? So I don't know what spiritual taste is like, but I'm ready to experience it, right? The fragrance of the presence of the Lord, that we would become as a body of Christ, like a sweet aroma, like the fragrance of the presence of the Lord, that's all spiritual. It's not talking about physical. And so we have the choice in our day-to-day battle. Is Mr. Captain America here saying, which gate am I going to open? Which door am I going to open and let come in to my heart? Right? And he has a shield, so you know he can guard, right? Offense and defense, right? So a part of your free will that God gave you in this design was for you to rule and reign right here. We're not talking about ruling and reigning here in the natural. We're talking about ruling and reigning in our hearts, and you get to decide what influences your heart or what influences your soul. So your mind, your will, your emotions, all of that, you get to decide every moment what you allow in. And so I want us to say this. This is our big idea today, to be on the board. I am the gatekeeper of my heart. All right, we got it now, so we'll say it again. I am the gatekeeper of my heart. If we can walk away with that, I think we accomplished something today. But I'm not quite finished. We'll keep on going. So this ultimately is what? This is a battle between flesh and spirit. What flesh over here, right? The natural world over here is flesh. Yeah, there's a lot of references in the Bible to the flesh versus the spirit. So let's talk about it in the context of this example, right? We desperately want what in life? We want satisfaction, we want peace, and we want comfort in our hearts, in our souls. We want to be satisfied. All those cravings, all those desires that we have, we want to be satisfied and have peace right here. That's ultimately is what we're searching after every single day of our life. Now, in the beginning, God created man, and it said of Adam that he was a living soul. What does that mean? It means that his soul was completely alive to God. And everything that he needed and desired was achieved by what? His relationship here. He didn't need to get any satisfaction from the flesh. He didn't need to fulfill any desire from here yet. Why? Because sin hadn't entered the world. He hadn't disobeyed and created that separation between God and man. He was a living soul. Everything was alive to God through their relationship here. So that door, there wasn't really even a door there. It was like a wide open just place where God could just come in and influence Adam's heart every single day, right? But then what happens? The fall of man, sin enters the world, and now there's a block, right? There's separation between God and man. Doesn't mean that we don't have spirit anymore, but it's that spirit is not alive to God anymore. So now we're in this place where when you're born, until you receive Christ through salvation, there's a block there. And so think about since the time of Adam and Eve falling, now they became flesh, and they had to get their source of satisfaction and peace from the natural realm. And we all know that, just like the Rolling Stones said, I can't get no satisfaction. It's one of the most popular songs in the history of songs. And it's true. They were speaking truth. Why? Because they didn't understand that true satisfaction and peace and love and joy and all the things that we seek after come here. But they didn't know that. They were separated from God. They are separated from God. We are until we open that door. And so they can't get no satisfaction from here. They'll try anything. We will try anything. Absolutely anything to get what? Just a little bit of a satisfaction. Just a little bit of peace. Even though we know it's going away as soon as the high is over. Right? It's not lasting. But yet we always seem to go back to this default of going back to the flesh. Right? So what happens? Salvation happens, and our spirits become new creatures, right? We become new creatures in this area of our life, and our hearts are awakened to God. And we probably even all have had that moment of that season of life where all of this didn't matter anymore because God was so real to us. But then life happens, right? And we let sin come back into our life. Imagine like a string attached to this door, right? And so like, imagine this is open like this and the Spirit of God is pouring in and then we let sin kind of come in and we say, oh, I think I need to go back to this. And there, you know how when you have strings attached to a doorknob, you can't have both at the same time, right? So as I try to open the door to the flesh again, it just shuts that door right back. The things of this world are offensive to the things of God. And it creates another block. It doesn't mean that our spirit is dead. It just means that right now, when I'm in sin, when I'm in, let's just put it this way, worry, when I'm anxious, when I'm afraid, and I'm dwelling upon that in my soul, I'm not getting my source of peace from the Spirit. I'm looking at the natural things. And I've closed, unintentionally closed the door to the Spirit. And so we need to learn to open back the gates of our heart to the Spirit of God. Sin patterns form in any area of my life that I try to attain satisfaction and peace through illegitimate ways. Anyway, eating, right? We get a source of comfort from eating. It doesn't mean that we don't are supposed to totally neglect everything in the natural. You need food, okay? You need water. You need all the things that God has provided for you. But as a source of satisfaction or peace, that's a different story. And that's where sin patterns develop. Let's look at this in the context of Romans, okay? Romans 8, 5 and 6 says this, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." So think of it this way. Mind set on would be door open to or gate open to. So when I open the gate of my mind, which would be soul, when I open my mind and I set my mind or open the door to the flesh to try to get peace or comfort or satisfaction, it produces what? Death. But if I set my mind over here or open this gate to the Spirit, it produces what inside of me? Life and peace. Woo! That's good stuff. Think about Galatians 5. I don't have time to read all of it, but Galatians 5, 16 through 25 is this whole passage where we read about the deeds of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit, right? The deeds of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. When I open the door to the Spirit in my soul, it yields the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit, not just in the soul, but in my body. See, it flows all the way through and it manifests physically. Why? Because you can see joy in people and you can see patience in people. You can see the evidence of the Spirit because that gate's wide open, right? And it's just flowing right through. Conversely, if I've opened the door to my sinful nature again, whew, what happens? It yields the evidence of the deeds of the flesh. Right here. You can go read about it, but it's a lot of nasty stuff. Sexual immorality, right? All the way to murder. Why? Because people get stuck here. And they have all this inner conflict. And if they're not opening the door to the Spirit of God in their life, they're just trying to get through by positive thinking and whatever else I can get to appease my appetites. And it's a bad place to be in. We all know it. We've been there. There's the same concept in Colossians 3. It talks about dwelling on things above. What would that be? Things of the Spirit. And it even goes on to, in verse 15, I believe it is, it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Yes, God, yes. Let's go on to another example. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Philippians 4. It's like one of my life verses. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, "Don't worry about anything." What is that? Let's just stop right there. Don't worry about anything. We get all sorts of worry in our thought life, right? Anxiety, fear, worry, right? And it says that I have the ability to just say, worry can't be here. Yeah. Why? Because I can learn that I can shut the door to worry. I can shut the gate to worry and not let it. What does it say? I think it's in John 16, "Let not your heart be troubled." Right? Let not your heart be troubled. That means that you have the option. We don't think we have an option. We just get stuck in this place of battling thoughts with thoughts and trying to think. That's never going to work. You can't battle thoughts with thoughts. That's where the enemy wins. I don't battle thoughts with thoughts. I battle thoughts with the Spirit of God, which is what? The Word. Sword of the Spirit, right? Which is what? The Word of God. So I don't fight thoughts with thoughts. I fight thoughts with the Word of God. I open that gate and I say, no. Philippians 4 says, I don't have to worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, right? I mean, he already knows, but there's something about voicing it, right? We'll talk about that probably next week. Tell God what you need. Voice it. Voice activated, right? Tell God what you need. Thank him for all of you. What is that? When you tell God what you need and you thank him for what, that's prayer and worship. That's supplication and praise. Tell God what you need, that's prayer. Thank God for what he has done. That's thanksgiving and praise. Those are two really big spiritual disciplines. That's how we open the gate to the Spirit. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And get this, his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, what that says to me is this. Let's just break it down again. I want to put it on a 1, 2, 3, 4 because that helps me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't worry. Number one, don't worry. Your choice. Pray about everything. Again, your choice. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. That's praise and worship and prayer. And then what? Receive his peace, which guards your soul. Now, I want you to understand that this is a relationship because there's things that I do and there's things that God does. So if I'm diligent about governing my heart, watching over my heart, if I'm diligent about doing those things, choosing not to worry, choosing to pray, choosing to worship, if I make those choices, then God says, I will give you my peace. And as you govern your heart, I'll give you something that will guard it. As you go on the offense, I'll give you the defense. I mean, come on, you can't get better than that. It's the shield of faith. It's the armor of God. He supplied it. Put it on. We all got dressed this morning. Why don't we put on the armor of God every morning? We talked about that Bravehearts. That's my armor. You see it? Helmet of salvation. There's some shoes on there that what? That's peace. Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. What? Shield of faith. He doesn't have a sword. That's the only thing he's missing. But he can pick that up right now in the name of Jesus. Right? Let's go on to the next part of Philippians 4. This teaches us how to do this. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says what? Fix your thoughts on what is pure and honorable and right and true and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It's really that simple. Where is your thought life, right? What are you dwelling on? Are you dwelling on all the things that may or may not happen? Are you fixing your mind on what is true? The Word of God, right? Are you fixing your mind on what is pure? The purest thing is Jesus Christ, right? And his Holy Spirit. Are you fixing your mind on what's honorable? All the things you're looking at on Facebook, that's probably not very honorable, right? I'm not trying to get on to us. I'm just saying there is a reality in which I get to choose. And what I choose to fix my mind on or open the door to my soul, that is what is influencing the state of my heart and therefore the condition of my life. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. It's all about application. I mean, we can go home today and say, man, Pastor Kirby, that was a great message. Well, what are you going to do about it? Put into practice the things that you're hearing, not just today, but every week. It's important. See, what I want you to understand, and I said it, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, is that God's not telling us to become monks and just separate ourselves from the world, right? It says don't be conformed to the world. You're in it, but don't be conformed to the world. But what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? Stop opening the door to all the junk and open the door to the Spirit of God. And then you'll be transformed right here. And so we got to realize that there is a natural flow. See, peace should never come from body to soul. That's where we get this whole war going on. And so if we get it right, if we turn our little Captain America dude here, right? And this is where he faces every day the Spirit of God and continually opening that door to the Spirit of God, right? Then that gate becomes open to all the things of the Spirit. And the goal is not to stay inside of you. See, the Holy Spirit is in you, but he wants out, right? We're called rivers of living water, not lakes. We're not living water lakes. We're not living water reservoirs, right? But too often, we try to say, well, we're just going to not think about this or not do this. When we shut all this off, and we essentially become monks in our own hearts, and we get all of this, even if we are trying to practice this, right? We're praying, we're worshiping, we're fasting, but where are we going from there? And so the thing is, I'm going to open this gate to the Spirit, and I'm going to allow it to completely blow through my life and direct my life, direct my body, direct me going out and speaking out and doing what God says to do and being who God says to be, right? It has to eventually manifest out, like we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, but we have to start here. It's right here first. And then from the overflow, I can go out and release the Holy Spirit into this world. That's what we're all called to do. Proverbs 4:23 again, this is in the Passion Translation. I wanted to read it in several different versions of the Bible. And it says this, above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Now, I like those two words of affections and attention because it really makes it clear to me that the condition of my heart is all about where are my affections pointed towards? Are my affections toward Jesus? Is my attention pointed towards the things of the Spirit? Or am I seeking after all this stuff over here to try to get my peace? Is my heart being affected because my affections are pointed towards these things? Right? Where is your attention? Where? See, our destination in life is not determined by our intentions. They're determined by our direction. Right? Direction, not intention, determines your destination. We talked about it years ago. We might need to bring that one back. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. You want to live a life filled with the Spirit. It's not about you intending to do it. It's about you being directed to the Spirit. And what determines your direction is what you're paying attention to. What are you paying attention to? If you're paying attention to the media, social media, to the things of this world that you see, your affections will go there too. Your heart will go there too, and it will allow trouble to be manifest in your heart, right? Don't do that. Just sometimes we have to practice spiritual disciplines such as fasting, right? Where I make a choice to shut off things from the natural world for a little bit because it's become a source of comfort to me, right? And so I need, and sometimes, in some seasons of my life, I need to shut this off for a while. Not to leave it off forever. You can't fast forever, food, for sure, right? I mean, you can do it for a long time. You can do it for a lot longer than you think you can. But what is that? It's saying, I am choosing right? I'm making a choice because I can't do this without shutting this off for a while sometimes. So I'm going to fast. Maybe you need to fast social media, right? Maybe you need to fast Facebook fast, right? Because we're quick, just it's become a habit, right? Just mindlessly scrolling. I do it all the time. You can ask my wife. She gets mad at me. I'm just scrolling through Instagram, right, through Facebook. Not doing anything, really, just passing time. But what is it doing? It's opening the gate to allow stuff in that I don't want in. And right now is a pretty important time to not allow certain things in, like fear and worry and anxiety. See, at the end of the day, we have to really truly believe the Bible. One verse that I love in particular is Psalms 16, verse 11. And it says this, it says, "You will make known to me the path of life." And catch this, "In your presence is fullness of joy. And in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." See, we don't believe that. I'm telling you, we don't. We don't believe that there is everlasting fullness of joy in his presence and that there are pleasures forevermore at his right hand. Because if we truly believe that, we would never turn to the flesh for joy, for pleasure, for anything. We would always go to him. And so today what I want to do is I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to help awaken our hearts to the joy of the Lord and to the peace of God. We have to trust that God is who he says he is, and he will give you what you need. Everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been given to you. Let's say our catchphrase again. Say, I am the gatekeeper of my heart. So we're going to close like this. We're going to have the worship team come back out. And really, there's just pretty two simple steps that we have to do, and we teach some of this in Freedom in Christ. Repent and receive. Repent and receive. What does repent kind of mean, really? It just means turning another direction, right? And so we've been here in some area of our life. We're here, probably multiple areas, and we're turned this way, right? Our hearts are pointed this way, saying, I'm trying to get what I need here. And so what is repentance? It's just saying, you know what? I'm going to turn the other way. I'm going to turn the other way and get what I need from the Spirit of God. And what is that? Receive. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says it this way. Humble yourselves under the power of God. It takes great humility to do this. Humble yourselves under the power of God. And it says this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. So it's not necessarily about just trying to do this on your own. What we're going to do right now is we're going to cast our cares at his feet.